And this episode was brought to you by the best goddamn oranges you ever had. Get you some.
You're listening to the Brown Trout and Bridge Beers podcast.
There it is. Decent.
Got the one and only Eric Tuohy, hailing all the way from the lands of Hayward, Wisconsin.
Yeah, broke out of the Northwoods, shake a little of the shack nasties, you know. It's
getting a little cagey out there.
Yeah. But we're getting there, and things are changing. Things are getting excited up in the North Country. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, we finally have the spring thaw coming. I mean, it came a little fast. You know, I don't think a lot of people are expecting it to happen as fast as it has, but, you know, what are things looking like in the Hayward? I mean, are you guys getting, you know, flooding? Are you going to have too much water? You know,
well,
apparently from what I understand, you guys had a shitload of snow.
We had a lot of snow, and that definitely played a, you know, a factor that we got so much snow in a short period of time. And it's not like a lot of snow is uncommon. It's just when you get it in 30 days, that kind of makes a difference, you know, but so it's melted down quite a bit. We've had warmer temperatures. We've had even a little bit of rain. Still some ice conditions out there if people are still even trying to get out ice fishing. We've had a lot of ice, really good solid ice. So we're still probably hovering right in that, like, maybe 22 to 28 inches of ice out there. But with that, we had a lot of water to begin with. It kind of slightly receded. We had some really cold nights. Things were actually, you know, firming up. And firming up, guys are able, or anyone, any anglers are able to get out and get out fishing on late ice. And that is something actually that's pretty fun if anyone has ever done when the water's running back in the holes. I mean, special time to be on the ice, but I hang her up with the big game season. I love chasing the pike and walleye, all that good stuff during the ice season, but it's time to go on to better things, you know?
Yeah, you're ready to break out the longer whippy sticks and seeing that ice move off the lakes a little bit, huh?
It's kind of nice to cast again, you know?
I mean, you could always, I mean, that's one way to practice your cast. I mean, stand back 30 feet from the hole. See if you can land her in there.
Hit an 8-inch hole, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, some people can hit an 8-inch hole. Many others might not be able to.
Sinking line. Tungsten, you know.
Tungsten
big
stuff.
Big cone heads. Maybe like 5 of them on there. You
know? Wiggle worms.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe an umbrella rig. You never know what could happen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also heard Tenkar is one way to go about it, too.
Yeah.
But
basically like long rodding. Like, have you seen that where you use like a summertime fishing rod in an ice fishing capacity? It's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, long rodding is a thing.
Long rodding is a thing. And at that point you could use sacks for fishing as well.
Like what kind of sacks?
Large sacks for fishing, like right. Bait sacks.
Yeah. Or, I mean, well, yeah, absolutely. You have a lot of options in that. My goodness. Oh, yeah. I have nothing to go off of that one right there.
Oh. She started it.
I know. Yeah. And I heard it. I'm like, I gotta try and get him to go.
I'm hoping that everything's been picking up on that.
Oh yeah. That's full record.
That's so cool.
That's full record right there. Uh-huh. Oh, that was fun. That was fun. I did it. We all have fun on that one.
Yeah.
That's good.
It was good.
All right. Good. So long rods, full sacks, fishing.
Yeah. Just give them a tug.
You know. Just a quick tug. Yeah. Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah. But now we're beyond that. We're looking at open water here coming up. A lot of us are starting to get ready, get amped up. You guys got some trout fishing going on though, and like a lot of really cool things to look forward to. Not too terribly far from like the Twin Cities area, especially.
No, not at all. I mean, we're, you know, we've had that pretty nasty runoff. You know, I was looking at water flows on the Kinney over in River Falls, and last week I was looking at them and it spiked up to damn near, I think, 2000 at one point, but now we're dropping back down to like 350s. You know, I'd be willing to bet that if it continues, it might spike up a little bit by tomorrow, but I think it's slow enough to where it's going to stay consistent. You're going to have some dirty water. You're going to be able to get out there and if you want a streamer fish, fuck, just have at it. Yeah. You know, you're going to have that opportunity to do some streamer fishing right now. Just low and slow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the game that you're going to have to play.
Something to be said about, you know, a little bit of sane water, a little bit of high water,
yeah.
You know, or I mean, not high water, not like, you know, you're fishing when, or what's acceptable water to be targeting fish properly. And that's usually, yeah, it brings good streamer fishing.
And, you know, I've seen some photos of people pulling out some really nice brown trout, you know, southeastern Minnesota. And, you know, once it gets a little fishable around here, you're going to start seeing those bigger browns come out of the water too, which, you know, gets people excited. It gets the shops busy. And, you know, it's finally that time of year we can actually do something and not just sit there and winter nymph.
Which, right.
I mean, it's fun. You get outside, but
it's nice to, I mean, for me, like I'll nymph for a very short period of time. I mean, usually it's most of the time I get really frustrated with casting because like maybe like I'm a poor caster or just like the type of casting I prefer to do, which is probably more in line with streamer fishing, but I'll tie a nymph rig on because I want to just get a fish to hand starting off our season up in the North Woods if I haven't branched out and gotten south, but or available open water for that fact of the matter. Nymph rigs will work. They're awfully fun.
Hey, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. What's up, brother? Talk to me, Aaron.
They're not happening? Talking about your area.
Man.
You're talking about stupid nymph fishing.
Yeah,
nymph fishing.
Bobbers. Well,
hey,
yeah.
Chbilski's like the nymph king.
Hey,
the Midwest.
I'm sure he catches plenty of fish on it though too. I mean,
he's like, a huge spinning rod in there.
Yeah,
Chbilski's a huge fly fisherman.
Yeah,
huge. I don't know. That's all I got.
Thanks for joining us. What do we got going on? Bouncing heavy buggers off the bottom. That right there.
Oh,
I will. You can't disagree with that at all because that is a good program right now. Absolutely. Even in the North Country, you know, we have cold water temps starting out. And, you know, if you're fishing a brook trout stream or a brown trout stream or a mixed bag stream, those things, fishing tungsten heavy flies bouncing along the bottom, that aspect will definitely put fish to hand. And if I prefer to streamer fish and carp's hanging out.
Like floating, yes. Head just coming by. He's like, boop, boop, boop.
What should people be doing now to get ready for this upcoming season?
Yeah, so we had a question come in extremely locally.
He says wash it out with hams.
Yep.
Oh, hams, got it.
Wash it out with ham. Yeah. So you should be looking at your fly lines. A lot of times, you know, you might be using your fly lines throughout the whole season. They can get beat up. I mean, you think about it, if you're wade fishing, you might be in rocks and other aspects, and even in a boat capacity and use and wear and tear, we should be looking at maybe what we have to update, replace, or add to the arsenal. So look at your fly box. I mean, obviously you should have some flies that you're willing to pull out that are pet worthy, ready to fish. And if you need to hit device to start tying. It's probably a good idea right now, too, to be starting to tie flies, you know?
Pet worthy. Talk to me about pet worthy.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Is there something that, well, okay, so you're like able you're to grab, pet the like, fly? It's, yeah, it has flow.
Oh, it's got the flow.
It has flow. It's fishy. It's, you're going to massage it like a fine meat before you're going to marinate it. And that aspect of just getting the fly petted a little bit and fishing it, you know, that.
Do you pet every fly before you cast it?
Generally, after it comes off the vise, and yeah.
You pet the fly.
It's usually well petted.
Okay. Is it heavy petting, would you say?
You want to be able to allow, I mean, it's kind of like, well, you could take like a brush comb for like a dubby, you know, like, or you could just like pet that thing. Like,
just
you know,
with like two, yeah. Three, one finger. How do you like to pet your flies?
You could play DJ if you wanted. But that will work, you know?
You like to put that little bit of that magic juju.
Right.
On
spin
your
a
fly.
Record. You know?
Spin a record on it. Okay.
No.
That makes sense. But
yeah, you want it to be fishing the way you want it. That's why you're tying that fly. So.
Okay.
Tie it right. So looking at too, what else? I mean, what else what do you look at before you're leading into like any form of like a season, whether it's like trout or waders is obviously a huge thing. Or if we're looking at musky season, you know, like you're looking at gear to prep.
Typically when it comes to, you know, specifically the Brown Trout and Bridge Beers team, getting out and doing some fishing. Number one thing I look at is how full is the cooler? Just how full is the cooler? I mean, that's number one. I like going out gear, you know, checking it out at springtime. For me, number one is moving my ice fishing stuff off top of my actual trout fishing things. That's really step one.
Generally will help.
We removed one jigging rod last night. I've got about four more to go, and then I can start inspecting my rods.
Right.
For me, because I'm a shitty caster, is inspecting my welded loops on there in my fly rods.
Yeah.
I have a gift for destroying welded loops on brand new lines. So I like to make sure there's no cracks in them, because you don't want to go out day one, hook into a decent fish, or even like hook a branch in a tree and go to rip it down.
Absolutely.
And there you go. Start. So
you even think about fishing that, and like the welded loops are fantastic. I know, but you're pulling, you know, something through the water that's going to create friction and tension. And eventually you might just have to cut it back a little bit and use some type of tool. I generally will use like a tie fast tool, put a good nail knot on that.
And well, here's the thing. Would you rather do your nail knot at home, or would you rather do your nail knot on the stream? So, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, check that stuff before you go out. Yes. And you're like, oh, that doesn't look good. Let's just do the nail knot at home.
Yeah.
Less stress. You're going to take your time. You're going to do it right.
But you do find yourself at times a stream side having to do
a
nail knot.
Get that tool. Put it in your bag.
I use a tie fast. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah, it really is fantastic.
So I check that. Next thing I like to check is to make sure that there are no stinky empty beer cans.
Oh yeah,
in my fly gear.
Yep.
Because there's nothing worse than smelling stale beer on the river.
Yeah,
and you don't want. You know, there's been times where you find that happening.
But so we have spring on its way.
Spring is on, and I think it's here officially.
Well, I mean,
like
open water happens is on its way.
Yes,
and
this is true.
The lakes. We have a lot of things going on in the lakes when that good stuff is happening.
Open water fishing, smallmouth, Hayward. When are you predicting, when are you guys actually going to be able to get out there in Hayward, do you think?
Well, it's a little bit just dependent on how the rest of the spring is going to roll out. So if we are keeping on track, moving the way that we're moving, we should definitely have open water well into fishing opener.
Oh, I need to unlock it.
So, with that, you know, fishing opener weekend should be full force by the way it's been going. So, I foresee maybe even as early as, you know, end of April, we're going to start seeing some open water on a number of lakes, and that's all good things. You know, that aspect is a lot of fun that time of the year.
Yeah, you know, as far as listeners out there, you know, I know we've kind of covered this before, but if you've never been to Northwestern Wisconsin, get in the car and drive up there, check it out. Because it is, you know, there's this corny saying in Wisconsin, they call everything God's country. Well, turns out. They were right. Uh-huh. I mean, they nailed it. Northwest Wisconsin is gorgeous. Tons of water. The fisheries are abundant and full. But here's the thing. Just don't be a dick. That's all you got to do. Yeah. Go out there. Have fun. Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
Hop on. You know, find a local guide like Eric here at Catch and Capture. Give him a call. Find him on Instagram, Facebook, catchandcapture.com. Yeah. Got my wife on her first muskie. Yeah. You got my wife and I into muskie fly fishing.
Yeah.
You were the first person to take us out and actually throw big bugs.
I asked for a run.
And, yeah, actually, that's why she got a rod for Christmas or your birthday or something. One of those things. But yeah,
that's awesome.
Though. And your ability to teach new people and get them into the sport, I think, is something that you might not find with a lot of other guides, ambassadors of the sport. So if you're new out there, you're looking, if you're big fly curious, Eric Toohey is your guy to talk to.
Once you go big fly.
Once you go big fly, you never nymph again.
Right. Yeah.
Is that how that goes?
Right.
Yeah. It'll ruin you. Yeah. We're going to take a quick pause on the podcast. And take a look at some art from Aaron Chibilski.
Aaron,
the area man.
The area man, Aaron Chibilski.
Just a glimpse.
All right, we'll be right back on the podcast, but I think we're going to still be streaming here. Hey, you know, for those of you joining in, welcome to Blaine, Minnesota. It's a hot spot of hams, beer, steak, cherry pies, and weird, weird women. Too far? I don't talk to people behind
Too far. Letter Kenny, though.
Yeah, for those of you that have been living in a ditch for the last year.
Totally non-fishing related, but Letter Kenny.
Yeah. Canadians, turns out, are funny.
Canucks.
They do better than just even play hockey.
Oh, yeah.
So... it's worth checking out for sure. But yeah, we're live feeding everywhere we can. Trying to get some feedback. We're talking pre-spawn smallies. So if you have any questions, feel free to ask via the channels, whatever you're watching on. And my man Eric here from Catch and Capture is the smallie king of Northwestern Wisconsin. Yes. On the fly game and tackle game. So if you're curious, have questions, you know, reach out and ask. Otherwise, we're just going to blabber about hams, beer, wild women, and Letterkenny for a while.
Yeah, not a bad plan.
No, it's not. You know, what else can you do on a Saturday night?
Exactly. Tie flies.
I mean, that's probably a pretty good idea if you're one of those people that actually like to prepare for the season or get into it. Not everybody wants to do that.
Eat meat.
Yeah.
You like to eat meat?
I like to eat meat.
Karf is a big meat eater.
Crushing it.
Crushing the meat eating.
Yes. Karf
is.
Is there anything you can fish? Other meat eaters, though. Brown trout.
Oh, brown trout. Do like to eat the meat.
Bronzebacks. Largies.
Muskies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What's up, Charles?
How's it going, man?
Is that creamsicle?
Yes, it is.
Oh, dirty Charles. Charles wants to be Matt's fishing buddy. Charles, if you're interested in an interview, let us know. We can bring you in, do a quick will you be Matt's fishing partner interview?
There you go.
And I'm telling you, man, you got to up your sandwich game. If you're going to do it, if you really want to be Matt's fishing buddy, sandwiches, stream side sandwiches is what's going to win that game for you. I've had a lot of submissions. I've been feeding through them. Matt's looked at them. There hasn't been any kind of like, we're not super impressed yet. You know, we're, it's not really up to me, but I'm trying to look out for him. You know,
what he likes about like a soup and sandwich kind of combo, you know,
you got a solid
sandwich, but you got the soup with that on the side.
Soup, I mean, yeah. You know, so that's
usually a winner, you know.
Soup and especially in the colder days. I mean, you don't want soup and sandwich in July.
Oh, when it's 98 degrees out?
Yeah, hard pass. Hard pass. Hot dog maybe though.
Yeah.
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 Roller dogs.
Yeah.
All right.
Corn dogs.
Let's solve this right now.
All right.
Man to man. It's lunchtime. You're driving past a Quick Trip. Are you gonna stop and get a roller dog?
Or a tornado. Or tornado, excuse me.
Why not both?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just making sure.
One of each.
No, that does not solve it. There's two people.
I thought we solved it.
I think we covered that topic pretty thoroughly.
It was decided that you'd get one of each or more.
I wonder if you can do that. I mean, we might as well cover Quick Trip lunches. I mean, the possibilities that they have there.
Brat.
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 Oh, yeah. The issue is you're from Illinois and you don't know what a brat is.
I know what a brat is.
The brat stop. Yeah. Brats are good. Hot dogs, though, I'm going to say it, are better.
What? Well, so like, is it because like all we could like pound like 12 of these and be okay for the day?
12 hot dogs?
Yeah.
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 I could eat 12 brats.
Right.
I'm not going to be okay though if I eat 12 brats. Like, there's going to be some serious issues going on my waders if I eat 12 brats.
12 brats would be a number. You might need time for a nap.
A lot of naps.
Yeah.
But brats are good. I mean, if you're going to do any kind of stream side anything, you know, hot dogs, brats. But like I said, Quick Trip lunches, that's where you're going to go.
So, stream side, lake side, in the boat, on shore. You know, there's ways to prepare a lunch.
Like pre-prep?
Pre-prep.
Are you talking like guide?
I mean, there's guide, like
guide things. Tricks?
Well, guide, we could talk tricks.
Tricks. You know. Tricks of the trade?
Yeah, tricks.
Tricks. Tricksy.
Talking tricks.
Oh.
Well, you know, so there's simple things that you can do, like for a guide lunch, like you're talking like pre-prep a meal. Like there's nothing wrong with that.
And what's your go-to guide lunch for your clients when you're out there?
What am I sick of by the fall?
Yeah.
Of eating the same thing?
Yes.
I'm a big sandwich guy for sure.
Sandwiches?
Sandwich.
Okay.
Or wrap, you know.
Oh, you go the wrap route.
Yeah, you get a good solid base and, you know.
It's kind of bougie.
Add some sprouts.
Do you go to the Mennonites and get sandwiches for your clients? Or are you making these sandwiches at home?
That'd be a fantastic route, but I feel like if you're at, like, you can't add fixings, you can't, like, unless you're having someone fill, like, basically a lunch order ticket, like, unless you know this person, like, this is what they eat.
Maybe that needs to be part of your, you know, client, like, fill out form.
Fill out your menu option.
Yeah, here's your options. I'm going to go hang out at the Mennonite to get awesome sandwiches. I'm going to upcharge you $15 to cover the sandwiches.
Well, it would be a thing to, like, you know, you got to go get the sandwiches, you know.
Oh, that should be part of the trip.
Could be part of it.
You're going to go there and you're going to get gummy bears. You're going to get cowboy mix and you're probably going to buy some cheese curds while you're there.
Yeah.
Because it's Wisconsin. That's kind of how we live.
Yeah. They're the squeaky kind though.
Charles' parents' first date was at the Brat Stop.
The Brat Stop.
Wow. Where is the Brat Stop?
It's in the southern part of Wisconsin on the way back to Chicago.
Nice.
This thing?
Nice.
It's like a big sausage house or something?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Sick.
That's awesome.
That's pretty sweet. I've never been to the Brat Stop. Maybe we'll have to put that on our to-do list this summer, spring, fall.
I thought you guys knew what the Brat Stop was.
I do apologize for my Wisconsin heritage. I am not a brat nut. as many Wisconsinites are.
Okay.
Honestly, when I do eat brats, I don't make beer brats.
No.
What?
Beer brats, yeah.
Wildwood float trips.
Awesome. Wildwood float trips.
Yes. Kip is live with us. Yeah, Kip B.
I was like, who's what? Oh, that's why the name sounds familiar.
The smallmouth man himself.
He is the smallmouth man himself. Yeah. I mean, that's where we're here. Let's jump back on that wagon. Let's get back in the smallest, the bronzies.
Yeah, bronze back.
Talk about it. You know, preach to us. All right, so we were talking about gear earlier. You were asking, you know, what am I looking for, you know, from a brown trout fisherman's perspective? What am I prepping? What am I looking at? You know, like I said, we left off on lines. You know, I know how I cast. I have a shit cast. I said I break welded loops. I'm looking at that. You know what, guys? Pull some line out of your reel and just rewrap it. Just start fresh.
Sure.
Like, just rewrap it because it's so just mangled from probably when you went winter fishing.
Well, if you got a good cleaner to just...
Why do that? Just buy a new line.
Well, yeah.
All the time, Tui. Just strip all that stuff out there. 100-foot hero cast all the time. That's how you clean it.
There you go.
All right. I've never cleaned the line all the time.
Well, no.
Coraline makes a fantastic cleaner.
Their cleaner is
Coraline Mines.
They have a cleaner.
Okay.
There's other cleaning agents on the market that for any fly line, and not that like we're beating it up like in the salt water or anything like that, but like
you can feel, you know,
try to maintain it. If it's time to send it back, send it back.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, we're spending. Yeah, you can buy a fly line for $30. You can. But
will you have a warranty with that in any way whatsoever that a reputable company will warranty for a certain period of time and get you back fishing though?
Yeah.
Probably not. No.
No.
But it'll get you fishing.
It'll get you fishing. Yep. But yeah, I mean, if you're spending over $50 on a line, take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, specifically my musky line it's time to replace. I mean, that's been on that reel for almost 5 years now.
That's a hell of a jaunt.
It's had a good run.
Yeah.
I think it's, you know, we're getting to that point where, you know, it's time to replace that. But, you know, taking care of yourself like that, cleaning your line, is important.
No.
Yeah.
I disagree.
Carp has some good input. I disagree. I like it.
The water cleans it for you.
The sky blue water?
The sky blue water. That's why you pull it. All of it off of your reel when you're wading in the water.
Sure.
Okay.
And then it just cleans it for you.
Oh,
you just let it soak in there.
And two, right. I don't know that you've heard Karf's opinion on leaders. He does have a magic way with leaders that he can probably give you. You want to give him a brief rundown on your leader beliefs?
It's all about the abrasions.
Sure.
And how natural they are. Because fish can tell. They can. It's just going back to like gear fishing.
Right.
You know, you got like rattle traps. They give off a certain vibration, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to string it up with 40-pound fluorocarbon because I would diminish a certain level of how that fly is going to fish.
Flies don't give off like a vibration. Like a rattle trap does. So you have to lure them in, but you need the abrasions on your line.
You need the resistance. But like,
you don't want it to be a streamer sense though. Any fly.
Okay.
It works with dry flies and poppers.
Yes.
Because your line, when you're stripping that in.
Yes.
The abrasions create this like false vibration.
Sure. Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's a disturbance and the fish know and they feel that and they know when it's fake. Like, cause I used to sit there with like a nail file and just like, you know, the night before I'm going out on a fishing trip, I would like file down my leaders in like certain areas.
That's interesting.
But it was more effective for me to go stand out in a field of wheat or corn with no fly tied on my leader and just false cast back and forth and get that natural abrasion to my leader
You know, but also it depends on the area you're in. If I'm fishing a stream that's around cornfields, I'm going to go get abrasions from the cornfield. They'll know.
The cornfield,
does the corn put a scent? Do you get a scent on the line?
Yeah, because, you know, things pollinate, like bugs. Right. They land on flowers and, like, pick things off and fly through the air. And then they throw them all over the place. I don't know what they do with that stuff.
Have you ever left a bag of black licorice in your tackle bag, like, with, like, a couple flies in there?
Gross.
Soak that up.
Cornfields. I hate black licorice.
I know, but
it's the worst.
No, but the scent
is it worse than a black jelly bean?
The scent is the same scent that they put into plastic
black
for
licorice
for fishing lures.
I know they do but it's
fly,
I don't
soak that up. It's all good.
No.
Yeah.
No. So like good. I'm not going to feed fish something that I wouldn't eat myself.
So you feed your flies black licorice?
No. I'm just saying hypothetically, like you could cast.
Wait, there's fields of black licorice?
Well, someone brought it to that level. Yes, it went to a new level.
If Willy Wonka had a real factory, there would be a field.
I thought he had.
That's how they harvest black licorice or red licorice or this, like, what's the twisted kind? The pull and peel?
Pull and peel.
You should be able to order fly leaders like a pull and peel.
Whoa. Let's stop podcasting and write down notes.
Can you rewind that?
Should I edit that out?
Yeah.
Let's get a business plan going.
Everybody listening, that is copyrighted. You can't take that. That was on the 3BT podcast, by the way.
Right.
And all rights go to Catch and Capture.
Yeah.
So pull and peel leaders. Can we talk about that?
Elaborate.
A bit more? I like it. I'm visualizing this and I am like, it would work. I love what I see.
It would work. I mean,
it would work. It's like string cheese because, like, you can never pull off one, like, it's always tapered.
You buy a bundle.
If you bite string cheese without pulling it, you're a psychopath.
I bite the top off before I start pulling it.
Well, if that helps you pull it,
yeah,
that's fine. Behavior.
So would the pull and peel leaders be pre like drug through a cornfield and then
no, because
that's your own due
because it goes by the area you're in.
Sure. All right. Okay.
Area man would understand that.
He probably would.
I guess mine would be getting it stuck in the pine trees and dragging it through the pine.
Hey, but
wait,
each their own.
Hi, Tom.
What's up?
Hi, Tom.
Oh, we got Teddy.
Tom is watching.
Ted is on.
It is great advice, isn't it?
It's great meeting Ted. Aaron? Hey, that was awesome.
Corn all comes from Nebraska. Gonna have a shortage this year.
Yeah. The corn makes it old.
Is there gonna be a shortage?
Sad. Yeah, let's.
No.
Nebraska's not a
good spot. We insure that stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's part of your company, isn't
it? I'm in corn insurance.
Insurance.
Just corn.
Carf, I thought you only dealt with
all of them, like a bunch. So there's like
what corn. What is your main crop?
Corn.
Corn.
Soybeans.
Do you know what corn is?
Corn, yeah.
It makes tortillas.
It makes tortillas. Yes.
Sweet beets? Beets.
Sugar beets. Sugar beets are huge here in Northern Minnesota and North Dakota.
It's a big sugar beet area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do people
gotta
do
watch
with sugar beets?
Drive from Bemidji to Grand Forks.
They make aspartame.
Yep.
Really?
It's fake sugar.
Yeah. That's what sugar beets are for?
And I want to say the United States is... Or no, actually Minnesota is like one of the top producers of sugar beets in the world.
So Minnesota is responsible for killing people.
Yeah.
Okay.
But also I've seen that they use it in alternative.
That's why they're so nice.
For salt for the road though.
Just kill.
I'm not joking.
Wait, sugar on the roads?
It's a byproduct off of sugar beets instead of putting into food.
So instead of putting salt in the roads, they're just throwing sugar beets down?
Oh, yeah, that is just in general the stretch by Grand Forks area.
They're dropping beets across
smash
the road.
Them down.
Beets.
Yes. Beets.
They're just dropping those beets.
Right. No, but it's a real thing.
Everything.
Not salt.
Sugar beets?
Sugar beets. I've seen it. It's a thing.
I've seen a lot of things. I should
turn this microphone on.
I'm surprised you did. Hey, guys, if you've listened into the podcast before, you've also all learned how quickly things go sideways.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I ruin everything.
But what is Carf's on?
No, this is not Carf. This is fake Matt Ebbers.
Matt Ebbers too.
Matt Ebbers -0.1.
Actually, I think Matt's been trolling us and sending us.
Oh, fantastic drawings!
Fantastic.
Grant's drawings. Is really like
that's sarcasm.
I know.
Yeah,
mine was proper.
Yeah,
that was a that's good
straight in the mouth.
Proper
straight in the mouth.
Fun. Yeah,
that's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Someone took some time on that one.
Ebbers is he's sitting next to us. He's just doesn't want to put his face on camera.
Right.
So.
CNC live.
Fake CNC
with,
live.
With red penises.
Oh, so many. Red rockets.
Dude. Red rockets.
That's kind of how it goes. Oh, it's so bad.
So terrible.
So bad.
Barncat 69 wants to know, you guys use stoneflies in the spring?
What's a stonefly?
It's a bug.
It's a bug?
It's a heavy bug.
I thought those were midges.
No, actually, you know what? I think stoneflies are the only bug that I know.
Stoneflies, actually, yes. So stoneflies are pretty prominent in the driftless area. They're one of the first bugs that you're going to see in the springtime.
Yeah.
You have the ability to catch fish on dry flies right now.
So my wife, Ashley, her grandfather lives in central Wisconsin near Gleason. One of the first dry fly hatches we can fish there
is a stonefly.
Is the stonefly hatch. Yes. And they're big. And those fish, I mean, they
don't get them big over by us. They're not super huge, but they're good size. But
green stoneflies?
They're more of a black with a black. Transparent. Almost whitish wing. You could be mistaken by seeing them and thinking maybe a midge, but they are winter stoneflies.
Yep. But I mean, they're a decent size fly for that time of the year. I mean, you're not used to seeing that size of flies at that point. stoneflies, springtime, absolutely.
Yep.
The nymph variations for that early stuff.
Merger variations.
Yeah, mergers. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're gonna get some good bites. You're gonna have fun. I mean, it's always a gamble, but it's always gonna be a good time. So yeah, the first thank you for asking a legit question.
Yeah,
we got small hands that. Over yes. here. That's fake Matt Ebbers.
If you off the side smell of the cabbage,
smell the cabbage.
Small
there
hands.
There are some small hands around you.
you can never trust a carny, really.
Was that do you remember the BK commercial where, why don't you get yourself a big burger and. Well, see, I got these small hands.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
BK Lounge.
The BK Lounge. Yeah. Oh, right.
Have you hung out in the BK Lounge?
No.
I'd love to hang out in the BK Lounge.
How do you get there? Don't you got to find a guy standing on a corner and he's going to tell you to go 3 miles down, take a left, go down the tunnel, find Harry with a boat, take the ferry across the river.
A Harry boat?
And then he's going to take you to the BK Lounge.
The BK Lounge.
The BK Lounge.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That sounds actually kind of scary.
Right.
All right. Stoneflies. Yeah. Stoneflies in the springtime.
Extra pickles.
Absolutely.
With cheese.
Oh.
Barn cat.
Biddies in BK Lounge. Biddies? I don't know, Reed. Biddies. I don't know, Reed.
Who's Reed?
No, nothing. That was me saying I couldn't read that.
Oh. You can't read. You don't know Reed?
I don't do words. I don't do Reed.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't do Reed. Yeah. Hi, Don Paneer.
What is up?
I'll wait with myself.
Extra pickles all the time. If you can just get a side
Hey, can I get as long as they're not the sweet butter pickles, I am not okay with those.
Which ones do you like?
I discriminate on the sweet butter pickles.
Do you like the spicy ones?
Yes.
And like Bloody Marys. like the famous Dave's pickles.
Okay.
What about like, have you ever had like the Norwegian pickles, they call them?
No.
It's a Norwegian zinger, pickle.
De La Soul. I like sweet pickles.
I don't like sweet pickles.
My name's Matt Ebers. I like sweet pickles.
Thank you,
this
Matt.
This is a PSA. Thanks, Matt. It's really, did you go on vacation? You look different.
Yeah, I did go on vacation.
Yeah. Yes. Where'd you go?
I went to the land of the sweet, sweet pickles. Matt Ebers.
Copyright Matt Ebers. I mean, never mind. Matt's right here. I don't know what I'm talking about.
You're looking at me like I'm not here.
Well, you know, I thought you would be hanging out with Bon Jovi right now, but apparently you're just hanging here in my house. So that's cool.
Sweet pickles.
Small hands, sweet pickles.
Yep.
You know, I always, Matt, I always thought, you know, you enjoyed having small hands.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
What is, Eric, what's your favorite Smalley fly?
Oh, here we go.
Now we're back on topic. If you had one fly to choose, like Highlander, if one fly had to rule them all.
Sure.
Or is that Lord of the Rings? That's not Highlander.
Well, no, that's getting Lord of the Rings.
So one fly.
Mm-hmm. To rule them all?
To kill. Yep. You had one fly to like crush all of summer and fall with. Spring, summer, fall.
The mellow yellow.
And I'll explain that fly.
It's a single hook pattern. It's tied with your choice of dumbbell eyes up front. It's a variation of a streamer pattern that would utilize a bucktail tail and maybe a marabou or crapper midsection body of your choice as a filler, as I refer to it. And then the head or frontal portion of, like, you know, building how that fly is going to swim. And generally it's synthetics, maybe with some marabou or some other materials that flows and a little bit of tinsel. That fly, it fishes well for me. It's a confidence aspect. Might throw, you know, a couple things of feather slopping off the tail end, but yeah.
What color are you using?
Yellow. Yeah.
And it's called mellow yellow.
Mellow yellow. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Now for you, what size dumbbell eyes?
It depends. So
one. You only have to choose one choice.
Aluminum, so extra aluminum, large.
Extra large. Well, no, aluminum eyes. Like, you know, the dumbbell aluminums.
Aluminum?
So like the sea eyes.
Aluminum. Yeah.
Like
I believe
they're like lighter ones.
They're lighter.
They have more size to them than the lead eyes.
You drop the eye and glue it in.
Yeah. Okay. So there's like the sea dumbbell eyes.
Oh, God.
Yeah. For like saltwater applications. Yep. That's what they, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they're not.
They're good in between. Then relying on your fly line to manipulate that fly in different ways.
That's bougie. Yep. That's pretty bougie.
Super bougie.
Now, would that fly do well with brown trout?
Why? I'm not going to talk about it. Yes, it would. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I've caught some very nice fish on that same fly. So a lot of your brown trout flies will be very transferable into a smallmouth box. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Into a small box.
Small box for smallmouth. If you have smallish hands.
Small hands, small box, right. Small heart.
Small handle. Just, yep, deal with it.
Yeah. That's fine.
Okay, so we got some activity here.
We have some questions.
Aaron asks, favorite fly color, any species. In what context? I don't know.
I prefer glitter.
glitter color.
Just glitter bomb the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like white and gray.
How do you do that?
How do you glitter a fly?
Like glitter bomb a fly. Like 3M, like spray glue. And then just
you can do like a shake and bake. Yeah. Like when you're doing chicken. Put the fly in there and
it's a thought.
Shake and bake it.
So we have another question. And it is from fake Matt Ebers. So he says, so have we come up with the ideal angle to drill a hole on the ice for catching smaller than normal crappies?
Yes, we have.
47 degrees?
Well, 46 and a half.
46 and a half. Okay.
Yep.
46 and a half.
Shredwords here.
Oh, Gator Dick.
And he says Carf only likes Taco Bell. That is so false.
And racist.
Yeah, totally. That's false.
I'm going to get beer. I'll be right back.
Matt says good. Wade on the Driftless just joined. What's up, Wade?
Thanks for joining. Appreciate it.
So during the summer, do you do a lot of trout fishing? Or is it mostly warm water stuff?
Well, my heart's definitely the warm water side. I spend some time trout fishing, and it might be intermittently. We have to watch in our area as water temps sometimes puts us on the fritz. Mm-hmm. And you have to really pick your battles, and you should not be fishing at certain times. So,
but what if that's the only time you have fish?
I'm not going to fish trout then, you know, mm-hmm. like, cause I know that it's going to get too hot and it, you know, fish something else.
Would you go out and fish a fly with no hook on it just to feel that tug?
Sure. I mean, it's always great to bring a fish to hand, but you know, a lot of times it's to eat, you know, mm-hmm. yeah. for some guys, I mean, it's the battle. It's everything else. And there's some fish that they probably hold on and actually potentially be, you could possibly like land the fish, you know?
Yeah. For trout, if water temperature above 67 degrees, quit fishing.
Yep. Hit it on the spot. Seriously.
They're not.
Aaron just said my dang wife just joined.
Hi, wife.
Hey.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron. Hi, Aaron's wife.
Hi, Charlotte. Charlotte's a hell of a...
Does that make her area woman?
She is area woman. Charlotte's a hell of a flycaster. Like, I mean, Aaron's a decent flycaster, but dude man's wife, hell of a flycaster. Like, she's got that shit nailed down.
The missus throws bombs. Oh, that's yeah. cool.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a great, great cast.
That's awesome.
So...
Aaron says, in regards to talking about his wife, area woman, says she does rips.
She rips the stick.
Ripping.
What would you know? What would you use to attach a half empty hams to the bumper of Grant's Subaru?
Wait, what?
What would you use to attach a half empty can of hams to Grant's bumper?
A half empty can of hams.
Is it for dragging purposes or for like letting it dangle? If it's just going to be a dangle, you know, you could probably get away with like some 12 pound fluorocarbon.
I would say 12.
Let it float. You know, just hang out.
Why aren't we using
a half can?
Yeah,
I would go 12.
Why aren't 12
maxima?
No. Flow. Just put flow on it and zap it.
Flow and
there
zap
you go.
It.
Yeah.
Oh. There you go.
Why waste good wine? Right?
Wilderness Bill asks a question.
Yes.
Wasn't Grant on vacation? How come he is still so pale? It's because he lives in Minnesota. He's in Blaine.
I'm actually still peeling.
Blaine,
turns out, you know, if you want
dangle some whatnot. Stuff.
I was on vacation, but I stayed inside the entire time. Why go out in the sun? That is not fun at all.
Are there any lakes in Wisconsin that have trout in them?
No.
Nope. Stay out of Wisconsin. Stay in Minnesota.
I'm kidding. No.
I don't know.
There are
I was just thinking about that.
Handful lakes that are actually natural lakes. We also have
Vilas County's got.
So we do have Stillwater applications for trout. So
where do you some fill that out are stocked with?
Yeah, fill it out. They'll you know require the whole ASP. No, I'm just kidding. But get a trout stamp. You're gonna need that. You're gonna need the Wisconsin license, and those privileges will allow for you to fish for some waters with brook trout, rainbows, and browns. Maybe even all three. Maybe just individuals. All depends on where you're at. Up north, yes, there are some there. Yep.
Shredward says, in regards to my question about the trout in lakes, he says, yeah, only in Minnesota and Illinois. He is true. So right. There are so many trout in Illinois lakes right now. They stock them.
They do some heavy stocking.
And Illinois has...
There's like five lakes that they stock in Illinois.
And Illinois very has cool. So many lakes.
Twice a year. Once in the spring for the opener, and then once in the fall because they die.
Well, it's like they're that. It's like that. Have you seen the photos that flows down in Missouri?
No.
I think it's Missouri. Like opening day, it's like photos of the Salmon River out east.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, like, yeah.
You and I like this, we might as well just hook arms and share the same tinkara rod.
Hold hands. That's what you mean doing. Hold hands. So
the positive
hold hands.
I'm going to back up Illinois on this. So the positive thing about their trout stocking system down there is, well, they closed the lake for 2 weeks to let the fish get acclimated. But on the opening day, it's because it's only certain lakes that they close down. On opening day, they open it for fishing. You can only, it's 16 and under from like 7 a.m. until like 1:00.
So they have a size class, which is fantastic. Yeah. I mean,
but after that, it's just open.
Do they drop any brooders?
They're just big ones.
Yeah. So in our it's neck of the woods, there are some lakes that have stockfish. There are some lakes that are natural. All are very special. So,
Jimbo over here on the Facebook, flatwater fishing versus trout.
Is this the discussion? That's what brought me to ask that question. Is there any trout in lakes in Wisconsin?
I know there's
lake trout in northern Minnesota.
And there's lake trout in a number of our states.
Yeah.
And especially northern Minnesota.
Are there brown trout in lakes?
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, I mean, besides like Lake Michigan.
Inland.
Yeah.
Inland lakes. Okay. You can find them. So like I was saying, like Vilas County, Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin.
Yep.
There's a lot of lakes that you're going to find really nice brook trout in.
Yeah.
Like trophy class brook trout hiding in these lakes. And a lot of the guys are finding them ice fishing.
Yeah. Well, they're
closer to get to the UP.
They're a cold water species. So when you're talking ice fishing, these fish have, you're catching them out of shallow water and they're pretty aggressive. And it's, I'm not trying to spill the beans on ice fishing for trout, but like it can be a good time. No doubt.
Let's talk about the Chub Creek Mafia.
What?
Sure.
Chub Creek Mafia.
Yeah.
What's Chub Creek Mafia?
You never heard of Chub Creek Mafia?
I've never heard of the Chub Creek Mafia.
You know, for being somebody who's around the small fish tour and not being familiar with the Chub Creek Mafia.
Yeah. What is this?
Have you fly fished before?
No.
Have you ever fished not using a tinkara rod?
No.
Matt, what are you doing?
I'm eating everyone's sandwiches.
All right. So if you're eating everybody's sandwiches, you've probably never chub creeped it up. That's fine. There's a fine select few individuals that can go out and hammer chub creeks like they're going out of style.
Yeah.
But treat them with care.
Right. Don't just because you have like 3X on doesn't mean you can just skip them across the water.
No.
You still a fish. They're still a fish.
Still a fish. They have feelings. You know, give them the love that they
not
deserve.
A frontal lobe type feelings.
No,
but like,
no.
You know,
you're not going to pet that fish.
I wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I don't want
to. You wouldn't want to.
Yeah, I don't want to pet a cheek. Yeah. And
catch and release.
You know, if you're if you're a trophy creek chub fisherman, these are your tools.
Right.
This is where you're doing your hero pose with your creek chub. And you got to do the tail tilt. Tails up.
Yep.
Nose down.
Yep.
That's what I like to brown.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
Or creek chub.
Or creek chub.
Something along those lines. I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah.
I don't know. Creek chubs are creek fun. Chubs. You know what? It's all part of the ecosystem or the fishery that you're fishing in. Don't be a dick to things.
Yeah.
If you catch one and you see it flying in your back cast, bring it back gently and put it back in the water.
Yeah.
Because you know what's eating that.
It deserves that.
You know what's eating that?
Maybe a bigger fish.
Goddamn brown trout's eating that. Yep. And that's how it's surviving.
Right. Or a muskie.
That was a weird tangent.
Well, we got on baitfish because...
Baitfish mafia.
We really, really must love trout.
Eric, what's your biggest brown trout?
In Wisconsin?
Ever.
I actually didn't. It was more of like a forearm / bicep kind of measurement.
Do you have small hands?
The small hands definitely helped with that.
How many beer cans long would you say it was?
I'd probably say about 7 or 8.
Seven. That's a big trout.
Yeah. I was in Montana. Grant and I had a conversation about that. Yeah.
Yep. Seven?
Seven?
Okay, what? We're at 4, and that's amazing.
Four.
So that a driftless.
Right about mid bicep. If I had my hands straight, mid bicep. Or, you know, 4. Seven is if I was drinking the little chasers.
The Rylander Rylander Chorties?
Little chasers,
you know. The Rylander Chorties. So we're doing with 4.
22 measured is my biggest Wisconsin fish for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
That's big. Yep. That's pretty big.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Yeah, big, big kiped out male, man.
So, yeah.
Matt asked, fake Matt Evers says, was that a straight measurement or a 47.6 degree angle measurement?
Yes. 46.7. Not 47.6. I'm sorry. He must not have heard that earlier.
46.7. Yeah. Fake Matt Evers. He's got jokes.
Jokes on jokes. Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm fake Matt Evers. That was real Matt Evers.
Now I'm confused. You're not confused. Matt.
7 beer cans long.
Yep. I did have a client this last fall that his biggest muskie was only an inch bigger than his biggest steelhead. That could be off-putting the way that makes it sound, because you could catch a 30-inch muskie, but
it is a game
his biggest steelhead was 42 inches.
Wow. Oh, damn.
Yeah. That's something that's wild, that's man.
Like proper
was it a wild one or one of the Great Lakes?
Proper
steelhead? 1986 British Columbia two-handed spey rod.
Wow. With a treble hook. Yeah.
Yes, and a spawn sack.
Hey, see, you know how you catch big fish? Big sacks.
Yeah.
And long, stiff rods.
We talked about big sacks.
Big sacks, stiff rods. That's how you catch those big fish.
Fully loaded.
Oh, you got to load up on those things, though. I mean, that's the tricky part. We were trying to ask Carf. Carf won't tell us his biggest brown trout.
Yeah. Biggest brown.
What do you got, Carfalini?
Hmm?
I don't know.
Single digits?
My biggest brown trout?
Is it part of the small fish tour?
No. So this was before the small fish tour. My biggest brown trout was probably maybe like 2.5 beer cans.
Was this minute 38 of your brown trouting?
Yeah, that's about my biggest brown trout is 2.5 beer cans.
Minute 38 of brown trouting?
I forget. I'm not good with time.
Or numbers.
I'm good with numbers.
Are you?
I count.
You count things?
Yeah.
What kind of things do you count?
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
That was special. I'm impressed by your numbers skills.
That was actually really clean.
You kind of flew through that like a champion.
Yeah, I did. I'm actually very impressed with myself right now.
Do you need a pat on the back?
No.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm good. Maybe later. Yeah, you need a pat
small,
on my back.
A small pat on the back?
I need a small hand pat on the back.
Yeah, that's good.
How about you, Grant? Biggest troop.
And all I know is we measured it off either real or fake metavers. I don't know who's who anymore. His net handle. I think we're like 17, probably 17, 18. I don't exactly remember. It was fun though. I mean, I catch a 12 inch brown trout and I'm
jacked.
It's just like super excited about it.
Right. Trout are awesome. Muskies are awesome. Bronze backs are awesome. But let's talk some weird freshwater game. We talk creek chubs, like turtles? That could be your thing if that's your thing. But dogfish.
Never.
Bowfin.
Do you target dogfish? Have you caught a dogfish?
I've unsuccessfully landed a number of dogfish, but I have landed a few dogfish.
Okay. Where does one go searching for dogfish?
The sloppiest slop you can find. I mean, as long as they're in that body of water, they will be in, you know, frog water, the most dense stuff. There are times of the year that they do spawn, and you could target them pre-spawn in the heat of the summertime. And if it's timed right, you know, yeah, you could have some serious fish, but they are a unique species. You know, very, very unique. Dogfish, yeah, they're a fish that has been dated back to the prehistoric time dinosaurs. You know, man, like that's insane.
Like Stone Age?
Stone Age. These fish are Stone Age. You could be holding them out for a gripping grin and they are still breathing outside of the water.
Oh, yeah. I have a... I think we were
biothermetric. I'm totally probably kiboshing what the scientific name for an animal or something that can breathe in and out of the water. But
so we do have an opportunity here, though, is we are going to try and get an interview here for one of Matt Ebers' future fishing partner.
Are we it looks like we're able to cue this one in, maybe.
Aaron, settle down. Aaron.
Yep.
Aaron needs to area man needs to settle down.
Well, hello.
Hey, how we doing, sir?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. Welcome to the Brown Trout and Bridge Beers podcast. And I hear you're here to interview for Matt's future fishing partner.
Well, can't explain how honored I am for this phone call right now.
Hey, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here, about the opportunity. And, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, you know, tell us who you are, what's your Instagram handle, and, give us a quick, why do you fly fish?
My name is Charlie. My handle is Charborough Creamsicle. Why do I fly fish? Because I like to drink beer and I'm bored a lot of the time. That's and I like fair. To make fun of the people I'm talking to right now through social media.
That's and I appreciate perfect. That. I yes. appreciate you making fun of us.
But as far as being a fishing partner, you know, just really lonely. My knee pads are really, just not getting any use.
Fair.
In my hands as well.
Okay. Do you have small hands?
I do. Okay. Yeah. I wear a women's medium golf glove.
Okay. Perfect. Are those promotional sandals too that you're talking about, or those knee pads?
No. You know, Ace Hardware.
Okay.
You
know. All right. Look at those promotional ones. Those might be a little bit more fitting if you're really getting vigorous with it. Not from experience or anything, but.
All right. Well, you know, I've got a list of questions here.
All right.
On my hand that I'm going to go through, and we're gonna give you a quick interview.
The ink is still good.
You're gonna ask the third one down on the line. I'll start with the first. Do you get the third one?
Yeah, if I can read that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all smudgy from earlier.
Smudgy. Well, I'm left-handed, so sorry, guys. Question number one. If you are going to be, is it fake Matt Evers or real Matt Evers? See, I'm super confused.
Matt Evers asked, can they make sandwiches?
All right. Number one, I'm going to go a little deeper into this. Can you make a warm sandwich?
Oh, of course.
And if you're making a warm sandwich, I need details.
Well, obviously, you know, you have to have freshly toasted bread.
Freshly toasted bread. That's a good start.
I mean, it's
putting it in your way.
It's key. I mean, depending on the tools and resources you have, you know, with you. I mean, obviously, if you're on a boat, you know, you have some sort of way to carry more materials with you. You know, you can
true that.
Get a, you know, I mean, people are fancy these days with batteries and stuff, and you can have a griddle and stuff. I mean, well, we're going super deep here, but,
you are getting pretty deep with your sandwich.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, especially when you talk about warm ones, I mean, wow.
It's as deep as you can go.
I mean, it's
a warm sandwich,
you know, a cold dead carcass is one thing, but it,
ooh, we have a question now.
Oh, all right. So your new warm sandwich, toasted bread. What kind of condiments are you going to start with this sandwich?
Well, I mean, it obviously, you know, depends. We talked about this a little bit earlier in the paper interview.
Right. Yeah.
I call it that, you know, mayo, you know, mustard, okay. Mayo, you know, mustard. Yellow mustard. I mean, it's whatever, you know, you got to get some good spicy brown mustard in there.
Okay. All right.
You know, there's a sleeper condiment out there.
Sleeper condiments.
That really has a lot of things in it that encompass a lot of things that we'd like to have on sandwiches. But Thousand Island dressing.
Isn't that like what they put on the Big Mac? Isn't that essentially the Big Mac sauce?
The Russian or secret sauce? Thousand Island,
secret sauce. All right.
Yeah.
So, are you a regular Thousand Island dressing sandwich maker?
Yes, I am.
All right. Is that? Oh, you just say your side hustle? Is that your main gig during the day?
It's kind of my main gig.
Okay.
You know, but I mix it up for sure.
All right. Are you mixing your own batches then?
Oh, definitely not. You have to get the cheap stuff, the craft.
Craft. Okay.
It actually, it's phenomenal. Thousand Island dressing. I learned it from the chef at the former chef at Trogues Brewing Company.
Oh.
Kind of pointed me in that direction. He's like, if you want cheap bottled Thousand Island dressing, get the craft stuff. It's like $2 a bottle.
Perfect. All right. So we're talking warm sandwiches. We're doing a brown mustard. We're going to do a Thousand Island mayo. The next big question is, what's the meat?
It's got to be turkey or ham.
You seem kind of indecisive on that.
If you're going Thousand Island on it, and if you're going with mustard and mayo, ham is fine. But if you're going with turkey, or Thousand Island, it's got to be turkey.
Turkey. Are we doing cold cut turkey? Are we doing a seasoned turkey? Plain turkey? Or is this like day after Thanksgiving?
Oven
roasted turkey.
Oh, and if there is leftovers from Thanksgiving, all the way.
Oh yeah, perfect. All right. So we got that covered. What else are we putting on the sandwich?
Well, that depends on on Matt, what he likes. I mean, obviously, you know, lettuce, onion, Tomato optional.
Tomato is definitely optional. Lettuce, onion, that's a good start.
Yes. Tomato is always optional. Kind of depends on the weather with that. How long absolutely. It's sitting in the bag. That's where you have everything kind of off to the side. If you're throwing it in your pack, there's no way you're putting a tomato on that sandwich.
No, you're going to ruin that bread. You don't want to do that. Yep. No, you don't want to do that. That's not good. All right. Let's talk about sides. You know, are you, what's your side game? What's your side hustle for a sandwich?
What do you mean? I mean, there's no sides. You eat sandwiches.
You're not doing anything on the side? No, I mean, special treat.
You got some meat snacks, usually a cookie, granola bar, something like that.
All right.
You know, I like to pack it light because I, you know, got to have room for hams, cans, you know. There might be a shot of whiskey on the side for the sandwich.
Oh, a shot of whiskey's good. What kind of whiskey? What's your whiskey go to?
Sazerac rye.
Where is that from? I'm not familiar.
Baby Saz, the young stuff.
Okay.
It's from down in that, you know, the bourbon or the whiskey making region.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it Tennessee?
I think Sazerac is, I think it's Kentucky.
All right.
I think it's Louisville, right around there.
Louisville.
Is it the whole bottle or just a flask that you brought with?
An 8-ounce flask, and personal use, I carry a 3-ounce.
Okay. Side session. Not a bad thing.
Here's another question I got to follow up with is,
feeds are just coming in like crazy, guys. Like we're having to jot some of these down on Post-it. So yeah,
we're going with this. Let's talk about beer. You know, I've got a feeling that you've got some opinions on beer.
Maybe a couple.
All right. we can go ahead and say you don't have to say hams. We all know that hams is that's the go-to answer.
Yeah, it's the ultra premium beer on the planet.
Right. What's your? It's from the land of Sky Blue Waters. Let's be honest. What's number two?
Well, that depends. I mean, kind of my go-to if I'm looking for something with a little bit more body, Moon Man from New Glarus.
Ooh. Well played.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm drinking right now.
All right. Did you have to cross? Are you living in Soup Town or are you in Duluth?
I actually just left Soup Town this morning and I'm in Madison. I'm moving there.
Are you moving to Madison?
Yeah. I start work on Monday.
Where are you going?
Octopi Brewing Company.
Okay.
All up right. in Wanakee. Well, so I'm fishing in the Driftless tomorrow.
Oh, you son of a bitch. You're going to be in a good spot down there. I'm coming to visit this spring. That's for sure.
Just give me a shout, dude.
Matt can stay back in the cities. I'll come down. That'll be good. All right. So that's your number two beer, Moon Man. That's right. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
All right. Here's really the make or break. Double Surgeons or Blood Knot.
Blood Knot all the way. And I can tie them well.
All right. Here's another follow up. Is it a bobber or is it a strike indicator?
It's a fucking bobber.
That a boy. Yep. All right. Doing pretty well.
That strike indicator thing, I've been laughing about that for decades.
Knotted meats. Yes or no?
What? Meat?
Knotted meats. Yes or no?
No. I don't mind if they're in a. Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, it
is. What the hell is very, a knotted
very,
meat?
Very a knotted, yeah, I know, but yeah. Love you, Landjager. I'll tell you that.
Oh, is that where
there's usually, there's usually meat snacks in my bag always.
Oh, you gotta have meat snacks.
Yeah, that's dry right. cure meat is a necessity when fishing.
Okay.
Maybe a little piece of cheese too, you know, like some nice 5 to 7 year old cheddar.
The aged cheddar is good. Sam's has got a nice aged cheddar. It's super tasty.
Matt's or Vern's aged sharp cheddar. Maybe throw an apple in there. Maybe a couple crackers. Like a farmer's lunch. I do that as well.
Are we doing a charcuterie tray as well on the river?
Oh, no, no.
We're not getting that fancy.
No.
All right.
I got a knife in my pocket. That's
all you need. What's his best joke?
Yeah, here it is. What's your best joke? What do you got?
You'd have to call my brother on that one. I'm not a funny guy.
No, you're all funny a little bit. Little funny. Favorite rod. What's your favorite rod right now?
Depends on the situation. My go-to is my 9 foot 5 weight Sage Z Access. It's kind of my all arounder. I got a bunch of rods.
That's good.
Actually my go-to probably the last year though has been my $25 Eagle Claw glass rod.
Eagle boy.
Eight foot 5'6" weight. I've been fishing that a lot. Just because I don't care if I break in the car door or a lady friend does or something.
Oh, yeah. Back rubs. Back rub. Do you do back rubs?
Definitely not.
No back rubs?
No.
That's a hard pass.
Yeah.
Okay. Mark that down. You got that? All right. Do you know Eric Tuohy?
Know the name. I do not know that.
Does not know Eric Tuohy. All right. Knows the name. Mark that down. Write that. You got that?
Got it.
All right.
Foot rubs.
Oh, yeah. How are we on foot rubs?
Massages the corn.
What about corns? Corns? Are you going to massage the corns? Matt is kind of an old man. He needs some upkeep.
I have a pumice stone that he could use.
Pumice stone. Okay. Well, that'll help out. That'll help out.
So maybe a little more techie question, but if you are freezing conditions and your waders are frozen or wading boots are frozen before you can actually tie them on, what is your next step?
That doesn't really happen because I usually get my boots wet before I leave in hot water and put them on and leave.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, that's fine. I'll take it. All right. We need...
The next step would be to, I don't know, probably piss on them.
I mean, you're right. I feel like some people do that for jellyfish bites as well.
Yeah.
Next, we need your best Karf impression.
I'll kill your wading boots.
Oh, geez. I gotta. Well, which Karf are we talking about? Fake abs or Karf?
Real Karf.
Oh, I've never actually met Justin before in person, so it'd be hard.
Well, he is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a given.
Who am I not?
you're always hard. You got any more?
You know, questions? Chuck Norris, you know, he's like walking around like Chuck Norris.
Yeah, most of the time. Just
walking down the street with a giant erection and there's no survivors.
And just leg kicking everybody. Okay, who does a better leg kick?
Do they
Steven Seagal or Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris all the way.
John Claude Van Damme in there.
And John Claude Van Damme.
Oh, Chuck Norris all the way.
Which one of the two?
Don't get me going on Chuck Norris jokes because I'll wear you out.
The flow of the mullet though after the kick. Which one?
What was that?
The flow of the mullet after the kick. Which one?
Oh, it was totally just the extension between his thighs that will just blow your mind.
There you go.
Thigh stuff. That makes sense.
Yes.
We have a question.
We do have another question.
Sasquatch. Oh. Do you protect Ebbs Force One or scream like a bitch and hide behind Matt?
That's a fair question.
I just run screaming at Sasquatch.
Oh, he's going to run screaming straight at Sasquatch.
Oh, he's going to run screaming straight at Sasquatch.
He's going to scare that bitch.
You got to make yourself larger than life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Add water.
And I'll probably be like ripping clothes off while I'm doing it.
He's also going to rip his clothes off as he's running at Sasquatch without screaming.
Yeah, Sims is going to have one
what a twist.
Hell of a Charles warranty claim Sasquatch. After that.
Matt says perfect.
All right.
Matt likes that.
Matt was a fan of that answer. Yeah. So,
have you ever wondered, though, like Sasquatch as being kind of like a groovy dude, you know?
No, he's a totally groovy dude. I think he's misunderstood. You know, he's just kind of blurry.
Harry and the Hendersons was obviously like the first kind of breakthrough for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's
still gotten washed out.
It was a good role for him. I think he did a great job in that role. Absolutely. I just think he's a misunderstood mammal.
Yeah.
He's just kind of blurry.
Right. Right.
You know, it's not that he's running so fast that the photos aren't right. It's like Mitch Hedberg said, what if Sasquatch is just blurry?
Yeah.
But, all right. Well, Charlie, I appreciate the time. Appreciate the call. This is an honor.
This is like the highlight of my fly fishing career. I mean,
well,
you know, forget a 20-inch brown trout. Like,
you can do those every, now that you moved down to Madison, you can do those every day. I mean, that's, you know, that's
all day.
What happens, but, yeah, thanks for the call. We're going to take these, we're going to, you know, give these answers over to Matt. I think he's been listening the entire time and, you know, we'll get a hold of you in the next week and let you know if you did in fact win the world's greatest prize of being Matt Ebbers' next fishing.
I get the honor to do it one time.
Yeah, we will.
Just one time. We have one last question.
One question.
Final question. Wilderness Bill asks, what kind of music does Sasquatch listen to?
Ooh, ballad. Yeah. Very good.
What is Sasquatch's life soundtrack?
What's in Sasquatch's CD player right now?
It depends on the mood, but there's two things I could see Sasquatch walking around listening to.
All right.
Well, maybe three, you know, but we'll say just two. I really think ELO would be one.
ELO, okay.
And then probably maybe a little bit of Sturgill Simpson or like Cody Jinx thrown in there.
I could see Sasquatch being a Sturgill fan. I could see that. He's a pretty chill dude.
You know, I mean, I think of a one song from Cody Jinx, though, I Cast No Stones, and he's got kind of this bad rap and, you know. And I just, I think he's got something to say, you know, and
Sasquatch does have something to say. All right. Well, that's fair. That's fair. Well, hey, again, thank you, for taking the time.
Hey, thanks you guys.
enjoy Madison, dude.
Yeah.
Hit me up
if you guys are down here.
After I get fired here from being Matt's fishing partner, because I've been on too many Cairn Terrier romps.
Is your sandwich game not up to par?
Hey, man, I make a hell of a sandwich. Matt, I just choke on hot dogs. Yeah. So that's why I'm failing.
Matt said the dude is in the running.
I guess you're in the running. So
feel the flow.
You're in the final crew. We'll get a hold of you in the next week or so, and we'll let you know who's going to win this game. But Charlie, congratulations on the new job in Madison. Good talking.
Hey, thanks, guys. Come down and visit and give me a shout.
Absolutely, man. Have a good evening. Appreciate it.
All right. Later. Cheers.
Yeah.